This will help solidify some things in your heart. Maybe, could anybody raise their hand and just say that this has stirred you, that there are things that God has been ministering? Look at that, all over. Hallelujah. Glory. That this gives you confidence. What Sarah said about having that compassion and having that, and Michelle said about having the relationship and about operating in the fruit of the Spirit and allowing those things to develop in you. Do you see how the Lord weaves this tapestry all together? That it's the same Holy Spirit, but he's bringing this all, tying a pretty bow on the end of it. And so he just wants to know you to know how valuable you are. I find a lot of times that one of the things that we don't do very often, or as we grow up, we kind of put it as nonsense or whatever. One of the indicators that you have a dream from God is that it's something that captures your imagination. And one of the things that we don't allow ourselves to do as adults very often is to use your imagination. You know, growing up, what do you want to be? You want to be a nurse, you want to be a mommy, you want to be whatever, and you would role play in those things. Terry tells of this group of people, and they weren't even Christians, but they got the concept of role-playing. They did it for a couple hours at this party. So you came in whatever costume you believed you wanted to do. One was a sculptor, so he had the sculptor apron on, and you know, one wanted to be on the cover of a magazine, so she had a mock magazine made up with her picture on it. I can't remember all the different ones. So they role played in that party as if that was who they were. And did you know that every single one of those people became exactly what they allowed themselves to imagine and to role play? For some reason, we cut that off and we think, you know, no, don't, you're daydreamer, oh, you're a dreamer or whatever. Well, that's what this is from God. You daydream about the things that he's put in your heart. A lot of times for me, I'll be walking on the treadmill, walking outside, doing the dishes, praying in the Holy Ghost or something, and all of a sudden it's like pictures or things start to come into me, you know, up out of my heart and stuff. And what that is God is painting a picture of things for your life. And it's only really through this year that I began to embrace, like you were saying, you have to embrace these things, you have to take it. And I've been keeping a journal. And one of the scriptures that we have heard and probably know is Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3, where it says, write the vision and make it plain. Write it on tablets, or put it in a way that the person that sees it is able to run with that. Well, what I first did was I did a vision wall, is I took pictures of things I have in my heart about this building. This stage that you see is evidence of what God put in my heart. I'm not a builder. I'm not a designer. I have no credentials along that. But this stage was birthed out of what I saw in my heart. So I drew it, I planned it, I talked to men that could do it, and this is what came out of that. Behind the curtain is a sign that's going to go out on our mound out there. It has our name, Celebration of Life Church, in steel letters. That came out of my heart of what the Lord put on the inside of me. I can't physically build it, but I can find the people that could do it. And so what I did was I began to not take these things lightly. You get in that quiet place. You get in that intimate place with God, and you start to let him download these things on the inside of you. And that's why having some sort of a journal, piece of paper or whatever, God is always speaking. We're not always listening. A lot of times as women, we're too busy speaking. If we'll just learn how to get quiet, you'll find that he'll begin to put things in your heart that you couldn't even imagine. So you might sit here today and go, I don't have a clue. That's the first step, is to go spend time, intimate time with your Heavenly Father, who knows you better than anyone else, who was the architect of the blueprint on the inside of you. And He'll be able to bring those things up out of your spirit. And so one of the things that I did was, after I did the vision wall, even the other day when I'm up here, I see this finished. I see this done. I see a beautiful parking lot and classrooms and all these things. You wouldn't look at it now and say it's that way. But somebody had to see something first before everything you see. You have to see it on the inside of you. It has to get bigger on the inside of you before you'll ever see it on the outside. And so I took this little journal that I have, and I have different things in there that I believe the Lord has put in my heart, and I'm already seeing them come to fruition. One of the things that I did was I took pictures. These are my three older boys, and there's been some, let's say, work of the enemy. They're all born again, spirit-filled, but doing their own thing in life. And I'm believing for restoration. So I've got them, and every day I can look at them, my babies, and call them home. Call them back to the things of God. Speak the word over them, the promises of God over them. Another thing that I was a country girl. I lived in the country. I love the country. I love to look at the stars. And I have on the inside of me my dream home that's out in the country, that has acreage that I can give to my boys, my children, leave as an inheritance should the Lord not come before, you know. But I began to walk, and I would talk with the Lord, and I look at the mountains, and I'm like, it speaks to me. I'm walking and crying. And we use our home this summer has been like a hotel. And that's my heart, to have a home where pastors and their wives can come, hang out. I can cook for them. They can relax. They can look at the mountains and enjoy what God has done. That's my heart. And the more I talk to it, the bigger it gets. The bigger it gets. I know to the detail what I want in my home. You say, you shouldn't be wanting that stuff. He put it in me. If you want a home, you want a new car, you want something that God has provided that we should have, why should the world have everything and the body of Christ be poor, beaten down, and living in a dump? God has good things for His children. He says that every good and perfect gift comes down from Him. The other thing that I've put in my journal is my artwork. When He told me to paint, I hadn't picked up doing canvas painting for years, and I began to paint. And I know it's the Holy Ghost. I pray over my hands. The Word tells me, and I have these scriptures there, that everything that I put my hand to prospers, that He blessed the work of my hands. He doesn't just do that so that, like Sarah was saying, so you can get a great name or anything. God put the gifts in you to prosper you, to bless you, to give you income, to bless your family, so that you're able to take care of them. And then you go on and you're able to encourage somebody else, or you're speaking in a realm other than the pulpit. You know what I'm saying? For me, it's other than the pulpit. And so I have that in there, my confessions and things I make over it. I'm calling my home debt free. So I took a picture off the internet of my house, and I put it on there. I'm declaring it to be debt-free. Can you do a lot more when you're not paying a mortgage? Can you give into the floods and the things going on when you're not tied by everything? We live a debt-free life, but you have to pay these certain things, you know, until they're paid off. The Lord told me to get my passport, and so I obeyed Him, and I got it. I have been waiting 27 years, never have taken a missions trip. And the way the Lord has brought this about, I started a little devotional for Brooke and Riley a couple years ago, texting them scripture while Brooke was down at Rhema. This has gone over to Africa. It's gone places that I can't even imagine. I have African pastors texted me saying, "We're waiting for you to come and minister to our people." I went through missions at Rhema. That has been my heart, and never have gotten to go. Now I have an invitation to Lebanon. I have an invitation to go to Uganda. And these are things that have been in my heart forever. But there's a season and there's a time for the destiny and the call and the giftings that He's put in your heart. Just like I think Sarah was saying, or Riley, or whoever, it all kind of comes together. Vision takes time. Habakkuk says it's for an appointed time. It has a time, it speaks, it will come to pass. And in the waiting time, what is your part? You speak to it. You speak the word of God. You speak life. You believe in what He's told you. And He'll bring it all full scope in your life. You'll look back and you'll go, "I never imagined that this is where I would be and what the Lord would be doing in my life." I have the women's conference in here. I've spoken to it. I've declared it for months and months. And we just have to trust the Lord. He brings it all together. So you've got to use your imagination. I'm going to rush through these and not say everything that I have written down here. The vision of God, He put it in your heart. It's real. It's from Him. It's His ideas. It's His dreams. It's His purpose. It's His destiny for your life. You have to believe it's real. You have to receive it. The second thing that can be an indicator is that it absolutely seems impossible. And that's the way God wants it. He wants you to depend totally on Him. His desire is that you walk and live by faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith, it's impossible to believe God." The things I have in my heart, I have... The thing He just downloaded the other day is to have my own studio. My family is very talented. My nieces and nephews, they draw, they do artistic work. My brothers and different ones. To have a place, a shop, where my family could sell their things, but also it's very unique because it's a family venture. You know, and that sounds so far-fetched, so I just say, "Hey, God, You're the one that has to bring it about." But there are certain things that He'll download on the inside of you. Don't ignore them. Don't just say, "Oh, that's just me." Put it down. If it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. He'll bring it to pass. All right? The third thing, if it seems as if it will never come to pass, you know, there's a waiting season, like we said. Thomas Edison said, "Most of life's failures are those who didn't realize how close they were to success when they gave up." I'm going to read to you some very well-known things that you'll be amazed. Henry Ford went bankrupt 3 times. Pepsi went bankrupt 3 times. Bird's Eye Frozen Foods, bankrupt 3 times. Aunt Jemima went bankrupt 3 times. Borden's went bankrupt 3 times. I don't know about the number 3, but Wrigley's Gum went bankrupt 3 times. And one particular cleaning product tried and failed 408 times. On the 409th, they became 409. Edison, was it 1,000 times that he tried to make a light bulb? If it seems impossible to you, it seems like it will never come to pass, you have to just keep on being persistent. You have to keep after something and don't give up on it. One of the things that really has stood out to me is that we as Christians so many times think a closed door means no, don't go through, that's not God. A lot of times when you know it is God, you have to kick that door down. You have to press in and go forward. Don't give up. The fourth indicator that your dream is from God is if everybody is not as enthusiastic about it as you are. A lot of people are not going to be on board with you because God didn't give them your vision. And so you're going to have to be your best cheerleader. And like I said, a book like this, I'm telling you what, is invaluable. I have used it so many mornings to just encourage myself. And I gave it to my daughter and I gave it to Riley. And my daughter's like, Mom, you're just becoming a Terry fanatic. And I was like, it's not a Terry fanatic, it's the word fanatic. And when I see how God took her life and changed it, nothing is impossible, is it? But when you're speaking life and you're speaking the word and you're having that intimate time, you're going to transform your thinking into believing you can be everything that God said you can be. So not everybody's going to be on board with you. We have to learn to fight for our dreams. What we experience in the natural realm that comes at us to try to discourage us, we're going to have to just rise up above it and be determined. If these worldly people can fulfill their dreams, why can't God's people, who has the Creator on the inside of them, why can't we rise to the level of obtaining what He's put on the inside of us? We can. So the fifth thing is, if you're experiencing resistance, difficulty, setback, frustrations, those are all indicators that the enemy does not want you to do what God has put in your heart to do. And you just have to trust Him to bring it to pass. The word says in Micah 7:8, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light to me. I shall arise. Even if you get knocked down. You know, we're talking about natural things and spiritual, and it's what we learned at Rhema, and Michelle will attest to it, Pastor Hagen, over and over. It's the natural and the supernatural working together. God knows you have to live in this world, in this natural world, but He has something supernatural that He wants you to do. The sixth thing is, if it seems to consume your thinking and it gets bigger and bigger on the inside of you, Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever you think about all the time, and this works both ways, you can draw that thing to you. Our mind was made, just like Michelle said, we have been given the mind of Christ, and it's amazing. And when we begin to think his thoughts, and we line ourselves up with his plan, there's not anything that can stop us except for us. And when we start to allow the lies of the enemy to consume us and to overtake us and to overwhelm us, it doesn't matter if you're standing for your family or your business or your marriage or your finances or your health, if you're not renewing your mind with the word of God, you're going to be overwhelmed with the lies of the enemy. And so we have to allow the dreams and the vision that God has put on the inside of us to become, you know, big on the inside of us. Think big, dream big, go big. What is that saying, go big or go home? We need to go big. We've got to get outside of our small thinking and believe God to do awesome things in our life. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, he busies himself with his every step. The Lord's going to order your step. You won't know the big picture all at once, but as you step out in faith, take that step forward. Just like with me, with my painting, begin to do it. Invest in yourself. Believe in yourself. Encourage yourself. Do the things. If you want to start a, we were talking with Tammy's mom about, she used to do wedding cakes. If you have on your heart to bake or to do things, don't just look at it as, oh, that's just natural. If it's not spiritual, it's not God. Bring God into every single part of your life. Let him be God over everything. Let him show you how to prosper and to bless the hands that you are putting to the task. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. Psalm 35:27, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He wants to bless you. And he wants to bless the work of your hands. He wants to bless you through the gifts that he's put on the inside of you. That was six. Seven is if it seems to define who you are and shape your life, this is an indicator that what you're dealing with is a gift from God. What you're able to do, God wants you to do. Understand how I'm saying that. If you're really good at organizing, how many of you have heard, I have to think of her name now, Julie Morgenstern, I believe it is. She was just a stay-at-home mom, and she was, I'll just put it this way, she was a slob. She did not clean. Her house was a mess and everything like that. And when she had, I guess, her last child, she realized, you know, what am I doing? So she began to organize every room of her house. Well, in doing that, it ignited her gift. And she has a multi-million dollar organization of organizing other people's homes and things like that. See what I'm saying? To think, oh, anybody can organize. Not everybody can. I heard a story of one lady who could decorate Christmas trees, make beautiful, gorgeous Christmas trees. And so her friends would ask her to come and decorate, and she started doing it. Then she started getting paid for it. That too turned into this tremendous blessing in her life. And so I don't want you to, you know, look at yourself as just norm, as just, anybody can do that. You can do things that nobody else can do, and we need to tap into those things. So if these things shape your life, or others say that about you, you're a really good cook. Wow, you really know how to do such and such. Take note of that. Think of the things, look back over your life and think of the things in your life that you were drawn to. Like I bought every kind of little Polly Pockets house and dolls and dresses and all the things back when that was a rage for Brooke. She played with them Christmas Day, but her thing was music. Her thing was writing. Her thing was more office and that kind of thing. And so you see in a child or whatever where they kind of go in a certain direction. What were the things that you were attracted to or drawn to as a child? You always found yourself doing the same, going the same way. That's what the Bible's calling your bent or the direction in your life. Number eight indicator, I guess there was only seven of them. I have 10 pages, so that was pretty quick to get it all down. Let me see if there's anything else right here I want to say. Let's see. I guess just to recap the day, I just want to say to you, you know, what Michelle said was of the absolute utmost. Without a relationship with God, without that knowing that he loves you and then your return love to him, you know, that is what is the most important. But when you spend time with him, you're going to find that he's going to reveal to you specific things about your life, whether it's a call of God to the ministry, whether it's something in the secular world, whether it's a private thing for yourself of doing and him blessing you. He wants you to know. He wants you to know his plan for your life. And I just want you to be encouraged today. One of the first things you absolutely have to do is spend time with him. And I'm sorry, ladies, you have no excuse of why you cannot listen and immerse yourself in godly teaching, in listening to motivational things and reading books, iPod messages, TV preachers, downloads from our ministry, whatever it is, we don't have an excuse why we can't. That's the society that we live in. They could have said that back in the pioneer days. I can't get to church. There's, you know, 4 feet of snow with my wagon. I can't get it out of the barn, you know. But we have no excuse. And so I encourage you, immerse yourself in the Word of God. It'll change your thinking about you. It'll transform who you are on the inside. I've already shared with you some of the different ones that I follow after. There's John Maxwell, a fantastic motivational man of God. Joel Osteen takes a lot of heat, but if you want to be encouraged, the man knows how to encourage the body of Christ. And see, he takes a lot of heat, but what if that's the gift that God put on him? You know, the Bible talks about Bartholomew. He was an encourager to the body. Maybe Joel is a Bartholomew. And so we need to honor the gifts and take what blesses you, you know. There's Joyce Myers. You can listen to many of her motivational things that will inspire and encourage you. So I'm just telling you that it's important that you feed your spirit, man. You've got to be built up in the Word. You have to give yourself, secondly, permission to imagine and to dream. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. Take a notebook. Make a journal. Make it fun. Get pictures that you like. You know, do a wall or a board or a book. I do this because I can keep it right by my chair, or I can carry it like when I travel or something. There's all my things in there. Get pictures off. You can do it as elaborate as you want to. But I tell you what, you begin to do that. You begin to speak the things that you believe God has put in your heart. You will be amazed at all of a sudden you have this idea or that idea you never would have thought about before. But it's the Spirit of God directing your steps. Thirdly, you need to see and ask God to reveal the action you need to take. If it's to go to class, if it's to invest in something, if it's to call about finding more information. As I'm painting and drawing and doing these kind of things, I'm watching classes online. I can learn about any kind of painting I want to online. And so I'm developing in what God has called me. And I'm not doing this boastfully or anything. The Lord set a price in my heart, and that's what I'm asking for my paintings. We went down to the little crate place in Bozeman with a ladies' Bible study. And the guy who owns it is a Christian. In fact, he's a pastor of the upper room here. And he has like a little gallery in there. And he opened it up for me to bring my paintings there. So God will connect you here and there with who you need to be connected to do the things he's put in your heart. So that's so important. And then finally, no matter how long it takes, never ever give up on what God is telling you to do. If it's 20 years for Miss Lynette to start a ladies' conference that they come from all over the world to, then stick with it. Don't give up. The way you don't give up is you don't give up on the Word of God, wherever my Bible is down here. This has to become the final authority in your life. This has to become your lifeline. The Word says that the Word of God is the anchor to our soul. Michelle and I have been back and forth to each other, just encouraging each other, because the waves are rough and the waves want to take you out. And you need each other. You need to get each other's phone numbers and be friends and be there for each other. The body of Christ needs each other in this hour that we live. When one's down, the other can say, come on, I'm right here with you. I'm with you. And you can help each other. So I just hope that you all have gotten something. I know it's been a long day. I just trust the Lord it was worth your time to come out. We appreciate you so much. Anybody who came in late and you need to pay for your meal, please see Megan. She'll take care of that. We already took up a love offering. If anybody feels led to do anything else where that's concerned, please do. Just be led in everything you do. That's the bottom line. Trust the Lord. He is so good, and he has so much for us. Once again, I am so thankful and blessed that you would come out, and I thank our dear ministers again. I appreciate their hearts and the word that they had to bring. Can we give them a good round of applause? Thank you. Thank you so much. And I know the Lord will honor you for what you have done in coming here today. And so I thank you all, and I'm just going to just close this with prayer. I do want to just lift up one prayer request that we had. His name is Joey, and he's dealing with terminal cancer. One of Donna's sons asked if we all would pray, and we can do that because we are that part of the body of Christ that can just lift up somebody else in their time of need and believe God to do miraculous things. He loves to show up and show off in people's lives. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you right now. We lift this man, Joey, to you, and we are just claiming divine healing in his body, Lord. I ask you, first of all, if he does not know you as Lord and Savior, you'll send laborers across his pathway that he can make the most important decision in his life to serve you and to call you Lord and Savior. And Father, we just believe it's the goodness of God that leads a man or a woman to repentance. So we just ask you right now to touch his physical body, that those cancer cells will die in the name of Jesus, that he will be restored to health in Jesus' name, and that because somebody cared enough to pray, to lift him up, that Donna's son will be able to say, those ladies prayed, when he comes back and says, I don't have cancer. I got a good report, Lord. Who gets the glory? You do. So we're giving you glory right now ahead of time because we know your word says it is your will to heal. And so we thank you. We already know your will. We don't have to question whether you want this Joey to be healed. We know it's your will. So we ask you, Lord, to arrange everything that needs to be done, the people, the place, the words to be spoken into his life, Lord, and we declare it done, that he will recognize his need for you and he will come to know you as Lord and Savior as well as his healer. Lord, we just thank you ahead of time. We thank you for all the prayers that have been answered. I thank you for each and every lady who came out today. I pray they go home with such full hearts, such excitement, and igniting of that desire. Like you, Paul told Timothy, they've stirred up the gifts on the inside of them. They have a greater recognition of, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. I've had this gnawing at me all of my life, and I haven't done it, and now I'm going to be bold and step forth. I think you're going to prosper them. You're going to bless them in Jesus' name, and that they're going to travel home safely, especially those to Billings and over to Livingston, Lord, each and every one. They're covered in the blood, and they go safely, and they have a great time in the house of the Lord tomorrow. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord, and we love you so much. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. We just praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen.